Tonight and tomorrow, many PBS stations will air Frederick Wiseman's two-part series on domestic violence. Wiseman is best known for his fly-on-the-wall documentaries set in American institutions. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
There isn't a lot of violence on camera in Frederick Wiseman's two-part documentary, Domestic Violence. But the fallout of abuse is everywhere. It's in the stricken faces of women as they're interviewed by cops and social workers and judges. It's in the faces of the children, in the pictures they paint of their daddies screaming at their mommies. You can almost hear the echoes of those screams in the wall of the spring, the Tampa, Florida institution where the staff labors to stanch the internal bleeding. Wiseman spent 2 months in Tampa, part of the time at the spring and part of the time following cops on domestic violence calls. In the second domestic violence film, he goes into the Tampa courtrooms, where judges devise instant and what they hope will be permanent solutions to problems that might have been generations in the making. Don't expect flashy editing or narration to give you your bearings. Wiseman's realness can seem relentless, and at more than 6 hours, exhausting. But the payoff for the stretches in which nothing seems to be going on is a heightened awareness of the density and complexity of ordinary life, and in the case of this documentary, of a sort of ecosystem of cruelty that you'll never see in a segment of hard copy. Frederick Wiseman has been making movies about American institutions since the late 60s, and he's remained at the extreme verite end of the spectrum, even when the so-called fly-on-the-wall approach came in for debunking. There was a time in the 80s when I wondered if he didn't turn on the camera and go out for pizza. But if you watch closely, you see these movies are full of nips and tucks. The editing is so subtle, it gives the illusion Wiseman sauntered in and just started shooting. You might watch a scene for 5 minutes before the payoff comes. Here's one. A radiant 5-year-old girl tries to describe for a social worker the bloody beating that landed her mom at the spring. She's asked for the happiest thing she can remember, then the saddest thing she can remember. Her answer to the second question is a non sequitur that follows perfectly. When my dad dies, she says, I'm not going to cry. The early cop section of domestic violence is the most abrasive, especially a scene in which a skinny old man is led away in handcuffs while a bruised and nearly toothless woman rambles on about the years of violence.
No, I don't know. I got a lot of problems. I don't need to live here. Not with my dad letting him rent a room because we can't live together here.
Right.
It's violent because I'm going to end up... I don't know.
Somebody could get hurt.
I am a nice person. I will. Yes.
Okay.
I will.
Well, before it gets to that point, call us again like you did today. We can come out and try to solve it. Hopefully he won't
but
be living here.
But my dad needs to let him go.
I know, and hopefully, that's what I say. Hopefully he won't be living here.
I will kill him. I'll cut his throat. And he's not worth me going to jail over, but I will.
When we get to the spring, Wiseman shows us so-called clients being interviewed by staff. We hear one-word answers like, yes, 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 every day, to questions like, does he attempt to restrict your movements or social contacts? Has he ever struck you? Has he ever struck you with an object? And how often? The emotional heart of the film is the classroom discussions, in which tales of abuse pour out like lava. A woman remembers her mother being so high on drugs she just laughed when her husband molested the kids. Another woman with burning eyes and a swarm of hair cuts in to say that when she saw her husband creep into the room of her 16-year-old daughter, she took a frying pan and split his head open. She can't believe she was so dependent on a man who would do something like that to a child. At the end of the first part, Wiseman takes us into a house where a cruel psychodrama is reaching its climax. There's a man with no shirt, but with elaborately polite diction. He's clearly drunk, but what deportment. He wants the cops to remove his companion, who's sitting on the bed, exhausted and ill, with nowhere else to go. All she wants is to sleep. As the police attempt to reason with him, Everything we've seen and heard in the movie about power and control snaps into focus. We recognize the dynamic of domestic violence on a level that we wouldn't have only 3 hours before. It's as if Fred Wiseman has taught us how to see.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.